I'm Sarah. I'm an alcoholic. Wow. Okay. Off to a good start. My sobriety date is November 15th of 2016. I have a sponsor. Her name is Esther. She's great. She takes me through the steps, got me through all my amends. It was great. And I have a home group. It's in Vienna, Virginia, up near where I live. It's a big book study. And at our big book study, we read paragraph by paragraph, and after each paragraph, we stop to ask questions. So it's kind of like Q&A style, and it really helps me to always be in the literature. And I have the privilege of sponsoring other women in this program, and I'm so happy to be here. I'm a little bit nervous, but I'm like, you know, it's always a privilege for me to be asked to do anything in Alcoholics Anonymous. To be asked to speak an hour is awesome, and it was a beautiful drive down here. And yeah, so I'm just really happy to be here. And if you're new here, welcome. If you get nothing else out of what I say, I really believe that Alcoholics Anonymous is the best thing that's ever happened to me. I got a whole new life here. I got like a whole new life that's like I could have never planned, and is better than anything I ever expected for myself. And like, I've had a spiritual experience with Depth and Weight, where like my outsides haven't just only changed, but my insides, to the point where I'm able to be like a woman, a sober woman with dignity and grace, and be comfortable in my own skin. And it's just a miracle. And it like, it's not just me. It like what I've seen and like what I've experienced in Alcoholics Anonymous is that, the people that, take the suggestions and work the 12 steps and like listen to the people when they get here are able to have sober, good, useful lives and rebuild from like these terrible, you know, conditions that they're in, like where they're hopeless. And I've seen that time and time again, it can work for anybody, I think, so yeah, Alcoholics Anonymous. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. Today I will talk in a general way about what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now, and how I found my relationship with God. And when I was a child, people usually start there. I don't come from like a family of alcoholics. I come from like a pretty, you know, normal, seemingly normal family, like a lot of chaos, but no one was an alcoholic. I grew up in Nova. I went to good schools. I was involved in extracurricular activities. I can't really point to anything in my life to be like, this is why I became an alcoholic. But the first thing I related to, like when I started coming to meetings, I think like I didn't hear a lot when I was new. I was very foggy, but like one of the first things I heard was like when people talked about from a young age feeling like this like sense of irritability and being separate from other people, and just being uncomfortable in my own skin, and and I related to that. Like I always felt like I couldn't connect with people for like whatever reason. Like it was more difficult for me. Like I was like always worried about saying the wrong thing and like just like overanalyzing myself, and like I felt like, you know, I guess the 12 and 12 describes it as like anxious apartness. Like I can really relate to that. And drinking took that away from me. And I knew that like that's why I liked drinking. That was part of it. I mean, I liked drinking for like a lot of reasons, but part of it was that like when I would take a drink, it was like a sigh of relief, and like I could connect to you, I could say whatever I wanted to say, I could be whoever I was, you know, I could be whoever I wanted to be. Like just uninhibited, like I was cool, you wanted me to be there. Like that's like what alcohol was like my superpower, it felt like. And drugs are a part of my story as well. So I related to those feelings when I was a child. And, I was always like looking for an escape too, like before alcohol and drugs. Like I'm not somebody who like was a good girl and then got into alcohol and drugs. Like I was like doing mischievous things like long before I took a drink and getting in trouble, and just always acting out, just looking, you know, looking to escape. And, or for attention, I don't know. But I took my first drink when I was 12. My parents took me to Italy with my older brother, and it was like on summer vacation, and my dad lived there when he was in high school. So like he had this old teacher we visited in Florence, Italy, and the teacher was like just casually pouring like Prosecco for me and my older brother, and I was 12 and he was 14. So it was a little odd, but I was like, sweet. My parents were like, yeah, it's legal here. You know, it's like, cool. And so I didn't really know anything about alcohol. I know, but I was like, cool. And like, so like, but I really liked it. Like, I just remember like, it was pretty lame there, but then I took a couple of drinks, like, and I like, I gulped it down and my chest got warm and that like that feeling. And then like I wanted more. And I had like a couple or a few glasses, I don't remember. And like suddenly it was a lot more cool, and I liked the feeling of being tipsy. And I just traipsed on back on the beautiful streets, and like alcohol like planted a seed with me, like from the beginning for sure. Like I like to drink. And the big book says men and women drink essentially because they like the effect produced by alcohol. Like I love the effect produced by alcohol. Yeah, I mean, I don't remember what I was doing in middle school, to be honest, but I didn't like become an alcoholic overnight. But I did like start to like, do other things at that time, like outside issues. But when I got to high school, and I had like access to alcohol, more access than I had with work, 'cause I could meet like older gentlemen who like wanted to buy it for me and my friends. I like rode with it, and I would like party as much as I could, really. And like from the beginning, I just remember like on the weekends, like going out to like these parties, and there would be liquor, and like I would just drink. Like for me, like I was never somebody who like just, I mean, I don't think a lot of like 15-year-olds who are drinking or just like having a few to casually, I don't know. I feel like a lot of alcoholics, like a lot of people when they're that age, just like go ham because they don't know what else to do. But like for me, like that was like very natural, It was like I would have like 8 shots, 10 shots, like so would my friend, and we would both get so ill, we would black out. And just like from the beginning, like that's just how I like to drink. Like I'm the kind of person who like I'm not like a casual drinker. I'm like somebody who like wants to get dizzy. Like I will stop like when I feel ill, or I can't drink anymore. And I don't see anything wrong with it. Like I think everybody is doing the same things, and I justify it. And it was a blast for a long time. I don't know. I remember I got to high school. I was like interested in like other things. I was interested in like the choir, although I wasn't a very good singer. And I had extracurricular activities and things that I liked to do, but like as soon as like I was able to like drink the way that I wanted to, like those were not really priorities anymore. Those friends weren't priorities anymore. And drinking was like my identity. Like I didn't just love like the feeling of like alcohol and like drinking, but I loved like the whole lifestyle around it too. Like that was also something I loved. Like I loved like hanging out with other people who were drinking, talking about drinking, planning how I was going to drink, debauchery. Like I loved that. And I loved like the image. And I wrote it. And I don't know. I'm like somebody who like within a year of this, like I feel like emotional consequences. Like my parents sure like got me in trouble and stuff like that. And nothing like got my attention really yet. But like within like a year, I'm like having like a lot of emotional consequences. Like my mental health is poor, and I start getting sent to institutions. And I remember I was like getting sent to outpatients and psych wards and like substance abuse counselors, and like I had like a suicide attempt. And none of these things got my attention really, because like I couldn't connect the dots and be like, this is because I'm drinking. Like I felt like a lot of it was mental health. And like and so like that's what I was doing, and my whole family was like rallied behind me, like trying to figure out what was wrong with me. And I was just always so unhappy and like threatening to kill myself, and just like always so up and down, and just acting out. And I went to an outpatient. I got kicked out on the first day because I like left and went, got drunk with people I met at 7-Eleven. I like got sent to the psych ward, and I got out. And then I was in this like day, like this like program where like I was going like 4 days a week. And but I just like was never honest. Like I don't know. Like I just didn't know what was going on. I don't know if I wanted to get better. And yeah, so that was like kind of my life. Like I was doing school, and like I would get sent to these institutions, and I would like work, and I would drink as much as I could, and with my friends, and hang out with like people I wasn't supposed to hang out with. And I was causing a lot of damage to my family at the time, if I really think about it. I just like They were like spending like thousands of dollars trying to like help me and like get me connected with professionals, and I just was like not willing to hear it. Yeah, so that was like a few years of my drinking, and then when I was a senior in high school, I had scoliosis growing up. It's like when your spine is like crooked. I never wanted to wear my back brace, so I had to get surgery to correct it. That was a pretty serious medical procedure. Not only like do they like it's like an 8 day in the hospital kind of affair, but like the recovery is long and they prescribe a lot of medication to like get over it, painkillers, other things like that. And I share that just because like, you know, I'm somebody who got, I mean, obviously I got sober young. I got sober at like 20 years old, right? And so I feel like a lot of it had to do with the fact that that's what I was doing because it got me to my bottom a lot quicker. So I started to really like the recovery from that surgery, and it was something I really enjoyed. It was like Christmas for me, you know. One, I had like no responsibilities, but to recover, and also I had like an unlimited supply of like medications. And so, yeah, and so like basically like people flock to me. Like when you have it, they will come, right? And like so, like I got like new friends pretty quickly, like friends who are doing like what I wanted to do. And yeah, I mean, I was like off to the races. Like suddenly, like I was like, you know, I was drinking every day, using every day, and like my entire life, like very quickly, like completely revolved around it. Like I remember, like I was like, I had a blog at the time. I don't know. I'm sure it's still alive somewhere on the internet. I hope nobody can read it. But I remember I made like a post. It was like, I keep, you know, drinking like 5 times a day. Like, what's wrong with me, or something like that. And like, that's because I was like starting to notice it. I was like, huh, interesting. I'm like trying to be inebriated like pretty much around the clock, like just to be okay. Like I felt like I needed something in my body, like at all times, to like take the edge off, just to like be okay and to like function. And yeah, so like, you know, quickly I had like these new friends. I had these medications from the surgery and like doing other things and like drinking a ton and like hanging out with people who like had no business hanging out with teenagers and getting into very dangerous situations. But yeah, I mean, I skipped like most of the school year, I feel like. I got into Virginia Tech, which was like a miracle, but like my senior year was like pretty touch and go. Like I don't know. I just started having like these experiences where like I was sneaking out of the house every night, and like, you know, things would happen to me. Like I would like get so messed up that I like couldn't like I couldn't, I was like passed out, and my friends would just like throw me on the stoop. My parents would find me. I would like black out and like wake up like a couple of days later and just be like scared because like I didn't know like what happened, half scared, but like half enjoying it, I guess. But yeah, like I kind of just was always inebriated in some way. And you know, a lot of it was what I described before. Like I just felt like being sober for me was hard. Like it was just like I would get sober and I would just start to itch, right? And I would feel like uncomfortable around people and just like I needed to take my next drink, and like that obsession would come, and then I would like have it, and then like the edge would come off, right? And it just happens like over and over. And like I didn't really like, I was getting closer to like realizing I had a problem, but I was still like, you know, like it was kind of just something that like, yeah, I can acknowledge I'm doing this a lot, but like why does it matter? Like it just didn't feel like it mattered. Like I don't know. And yeah, so I don't know, like some other stuff happened. Like you know, I almost didn't graduate. I like got arrested by my school resource officer, and like I don't know, like I tried to commit suicide on a trip with my ex-boyfriend, and it was just like very chaotic, and like things weren't looking good, and I was like having like these long blackouts that I described, and like waking up, and like I started to like feel like temptations to like maybe I should like never drink again. You know what I mean? Like some efforts at control were made. I was like, okay, this is bad. Maybe I should like, you know, quit it altogether was something I would try and do a lot. Like I started trying to control it. But that would last like, I remember one time I lasted like 4 days, and I was like, that was dramatic, you know? And like it just wouldn't last long. There's actually a line in the book I was kind of vibing with. I was kind of reading some things before, just trying to, hopefully I can find it. Anyway, it's I can probably just, if I can't find it in the book, I can probably just like, oh, there it is. Okay. The fact is, the most alcoholics, for reasons yet obscure, have lost the power of choice in drink. Our so-called willpower becomes practically non-existent. We are unable at certain times to bring into our consciousness with sufficient force the memory of the suffering and humiliation of even a week or a month ago. We are without defense against the first drink. And I really relate to this. So yeah, I just couldn't control it on my own. And so when I was about 19, though, I got introduced to like Alcoholics Anonymous. And I was trying to control it. It didn't work. I was, I went to college. What happened was I went to Virginia Tech and I got kicked out within 8 weeks of school. I got my first conduct referral at my first party. Like I went to like one party and immediately in trouble with the police because I was drunk, just walking, I guess. And the other one was my roommate. I pretty much terrorized her. I was an awful person to live with. Like I was like, she was like afraid to leave the room in fear that I might steal her laptop because like for me everything was like community stuff. I don't know. I would like eat her cookies and like wear her clothes. And like not only that, but I was like drinking like in the room and like in the morning. Like and she was like a sheltered kind of New York girl, and she was like afraid of me. And and so she like told student conduct about my behavior. And like I was like pretty miserable at the time. I was like, she's right. I could have like probably defended myself a little bit better, but I kind of knew the jig was up in a way. Like my college career wasn't going well. I was like malnourished and like looking very ill. And like I was getting kicked out of frat parties for like looking too sick. Like that's not something that's normal. Like I would like go out and drink, like, I was just not doing well. And like so I got sent home and like I got introduced to my first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. I started out in the other fellowship anyway, but like the other fellowship, but I got introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous pretty early on too. My first meeting was at the Unity Club. And that's like a clubhouse in like Falls Church. And I don't remember anything, but like the first like young people's meeting I went to, like meeting outside of the Unity Club. And I really needed that personally because I was so young. Like I needed to be able to like relate to the people I was around. I think that like really helped me. I remember it was called Vienna Presbyterian, and it was in Vienna, Virginia on Saturdays. And I just remember like there was like it was like a group of like 100 people, and like they were all like sitting together and like laughing and seemed happy, and we're like doing things after the meeting. And one girl like talked to me after and was like, she gave me her number and like told me her story and like related to like my debauchery in college. And like she didn't say anything profound or wise, you know what I mean? She just told me her experience, and that was all that I needed to hear for like the seed to be planted in a way. And so I just really didn't have anywhere else to go. All my friends were still in school. I had a job that was on the rocks at a swimming pool, but like otherwise, like nothing else to do really with my time. And so like people would tell me to go to the meeting and I would go. And I am not somebody who got sober immediately. I got sober a year and 3 months into like going to a meeting every day. Because I was just like, there was this one door, right? It's continuing to do what I'm doing. And the other one is like, live this like spiritual way of life, right? And then there was like what I wanted to do, which is like maybe I can control it, like maybe I can still figure it. Like I still kind of thought like maybe I could figure out a way to like control my drinking, or I would grow out of this, or like something, right? And so I would go to meetings, I would like hang out with people, but if I had a sponsor, I wasn't really talking to her. I was still kind of I was still under the influence, right? I was like trying to do it my way. I would drink less, right? I would like remember I did quit for 40 days, and then after that I drank, and then it was just kind of like maybe if I do just this substance it'll work, or maybe if I just do this it'll work. Like it was like very like I couldn't accept the idea of total abstinence for a while because like for me like the idea of like living life sober was terrifying. Like I just like I thought about it and like my skin would crawl. I'm like how am I gonna sit in this meeting with you people talking to me and like function and like not be like an anxious wreck, like without like a couple of drinks. Like it was just very hard for me. I don't think, yeah, getting sober wasn't easy for me, but by the grace of God, I had a sponsor. I eventually got a sponsor. So like 9 months into doing this, I got a new sponsor. I recommitted in a way after like a bad experience. And she started taking me through this book. Like I had never been taken through this book. She was very good. She was 6 years sober. She had a lot of other sponsees. Like she had like six other sponsees, and like everyone in the meeting seemed to really respect her. So when I was choosing a sponsor, I was just like, people were like, you should ask Barbara. And I was like, sure, I'll ask Barbara. And it was a great decision. She sponsored me for 5 years. She took me through this book, and we read a chapter a week. That's what she did. I went to her townhouse in Reston, and after we read a page, she would like explain her experience with the page and then ask me what I related to, and then we would move on. And she like explained every word of this book, and like that was helpful for me because I didn't understand like a word it was saying when I was new. And like I really related. I related to so many parts. And like one thing I really remember is when we were reading the part about more about alcoholism, where they're talking about like the whiskey and the milk. And I was in AA for like a while, and like I like when I would relapse, or like I would say I was still drinking. Like I wasn't relapsing, because relapsing implies you have some measure of recovery like between drinks. I would just like take like breaks, right? But like I really would feel after like drinking and picking up a white chip, I would be like, I really am never going to do this again. Like I really had like that high resolve, and then like some idea would like come into my head where like, it was a great idea to take a drink again. And so when she talked about the whiskey and the milk, like basically like this dude, like he's not taking care of his spiritual fitness, and he's at a roadside place talking about a car or something, and like he like sits down, and like suddenly the idea comes into his mind. Like stone cold sober, like maybe if I have whiskey and this milk, it can't hurt me on a full stomach or something like that. Or, and like that's off to the races for him, right? And like to that's crazy, right? Like, but you get it, right? Like this person who has every reason not to drink is just like, oh, milk, I don't know. And so like, but I like really related to that, because my excuses are just as bad, and like I just don't like I don't bring into consciousness like what happened to me. Like I come up with anything, and like I feel like it happens to me whether I like am like yearning for a drink or not. Like I just drink. Like I'm an alcoholic. That's what we do. So, and like I don't know. I also related to like the doctor's opinion. They talk about like a physical allergy, and like and I relate to that. Like once I take one, I get thirstier. Like I want more. Like it's hard for me to stop. It's very unpredictable more than anything. Sometimes it's very extreme. It's just like we don't know, loose cannon. And like when I stop, like I can't stay stopped. Like that's been my experience. Like it, no matter how much I want to stop, like it doesn't really matter. Like the only thing that's like gotten me to stop drinking is Alcoholics Anonymous. Like the only reason I'm here for 7 years is because I worked the 12 steps. Like so. Yeah, and like it's basically, in summary, my alcoholism can be summarized, that's in We Agnostics, I think. Yeah, okay. If when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or if when drinking you have little control over the amount you take, you are probably alcoholic. If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness that only a spiritual experience will conquer. So my first sponsor took me through the book, and then I started to relate, and that was not my sobriety date. But I got like 3 or 4 months, I don't remember. And I was like kind of willing. I was picking and choosing. I was like, I will go to the meetings, but I won't do this. And like it was hard for me to turn over anything other than like just drinking to like AA. Like it didn't make sense to me, like when people were like telling me not to like steal from the store and like not to date, like how it was any of their business, like this is a program about not drinking. Thank you very much. Like that's like how I felt. And but I was coming, I was reading the book and like doing reading, and then I would leave and like all spiritual growth would end. So I ended up drinking like one more time because, yeah, I mean, I honestly, like I would say it's because I got into a relationship, but like really I just sat on my 4-step. I wasn't doing the work. Like I just sat on it, and I ended up drinking again because that's what I do when I don't work on my spiritual development. And so my last drink, it was nothing like really crazy. It was, I was going to school in college at the time, and like I got my parents vodka. Well, it was kind of wild because I was like hanging out with a bunch of friends in the program, and like you're going to a meeting, and I was like, I need to get a jacket for my house. And then I like went into the house, and like without even thinking, I just like went for the vodka. So then I was like drunk at the meeting, and the next day I got drunk all day, and like my pigeon sisters, my sponsee sisters came over and like dumped it all out and like took me to the meeting drunk. So like nothing crazy happened other than just me drinking a lot, which happened a lot. But when I woke up, I kind of just like I had that moment of clarity. I don't know how to describe it. And like what it looked like was like I finally like I knew like I really thought I was gonna stay sober during those 3 or 4 months. Like I really thought it was over. Like I was on this huge pink cloud and like but then like but I knew I wasn't taking all of the suggestions and like I could kind of like kind of piece together that like if I kept working like Sarah's program, like I would keep getting the same results. And that was scary for me. Like I was like not even like afraid of dying. I was afraid of just continuing to be in that like that cycle over and over where like I was just like I just couldn't stop drinking. And like so I just had like a moment of willing like I had like some willingness. Like I like I kind of forget like it's like you have a short window of willingness, right? Like that's what I had. And luckily I was still working with I was still working with my sponsor, Barbara, who like took me through these pages. And she told me we had to like start over. We had to start over in the steps. And we read the steps again. We read them out of the big book and we read them out of the 12 and 12. And like a lot of people gave me a lot of suggestions and I took them. Like I remember like people said like you should have 3 service positions. I got 9. And I was like very like gung-ho. And there were some meetings where I had like 2 and they were like, people get elected for this, you know? Like I was on fire for Alcoholics Anonymous. Like I remember like I was like a month into my recovery and like some dude like I was always like riding around with some new dude, you know? Like I just like I don't know, like just like hanging out with like some other like newcomers and like I was like going on and on about like this breakup and what was me and like I would often do. And he was like, Sarah, do you ever think about anyone other than yourself? Like, why don't you ask somebody else how they're doing for a change? And like I've been in meetings for like a year and for some reason it was the first time I like heard someone say you should help people. You know what I mean? Like it was like and like I was like, you know, maybe that's a good idea, you know? And so I started to do that. Like I started to like take an interest in other people. And I don't know, it's just like the feeling of like getting out of yourself, you know, that relief. Like it really like got me through doing service for like a long time, right? Like the because like when I would be helping somebody else or like listening to what they were going through at all, like it would just like it would get me out of myself. And like when I was new, I was always in the bondage of self. Like everything was an emergency. I was anxious, I was restless, irritable, and discontent. Like so like doing service was really helpful and just like taking an interest in people's lives, I think. So like I got a little extreme with it. I got like 9 positions, but like it's calmed down, I can report. But like that's and I picked people up. Like I had a car. I was very lucky to have a car. And so I'd like pick up people from like this meeting in Maryland and like take them to Virginia and like I was like driving all over the place. And I was just on fire for AA. Like I was going to like a meeting every single day and I was just getting well. I don't know. And like I got other suggestions from people. Like my sponsor told me to pray. This was like around the time when we were doing like steps 2 and 3. And she told me to start praying. And I started to do that. And like I'm not somebody like when it comes to like step 2, like I'm somebody who had like very limited experience with anything spiritual. Like my parents would like flip-flop through churches growing up, but we would go on like, every once in a while. Like we weren't very religious. And I didn't really know anything about it, other than like I didn't need it. It wasn't for me because it was hokey and stupid. Like that's how I felt about it at the time. And oftentimes like when people would like read steps 2 and 3 in the meetings, I'd be like, huh, I'd like kind of like shake it off. Like I don't like that's cute, but I don't feel like doing that. And that's like how I felt about it for like a long time. And but I didn't have any serious opposition against it. There wasn't like a serious fight against it. But like when I was like beaten down enough by alcohol, and like We Agnostics talks about like alcohol being like the great persuader for a lot of people, and like it convinces people to like be more open-minded on spiritual matters pretty much. And like that's like what happened for me. Like I was sick of drinking and my sponsor, I took suggestions. I did what she told me to do. So she told me to pray. I prayed and I felt like I was praying to a wall for a long time. She told me to say, please keep me sober today and thank you for keeping me sober today. Like, please keep me sober in the morning and like thank you at night. And I started to do that. And that was like the beginning for me. I was willing to like believe something could help me. And I knew something was working here. Like I knew like for step two, like I knew like at the very least, like something was working in Alcoholics Anonymous. Something was working in everybody else's life because like I believed when people told me about their drinking and like they were not doing that anymore. Like there were people who like I would never believe they drank the way that they drank and they did. And like so something was working here. And like so she told me to pray and like, my sponsor like took me through the steps. Like we went through all 12 steps and I did like a fourth and a fifth step and like and that was like really eye-opening for me because I'm not somebody who's very like introspective, I guess. Like I was very unaware of myself for like a long time. Like when I thought about other people, it was like I felt like a victim in a lot of situations. Like I felt like, that person mistreated me, like my parents mistreated me. That's like why I'm an alcoholic. That's why I treat them the way I treat them. It's because they put me through this trauma. And they like neglected me in certain ways, and that's why I am the way that I am. And like I thought like those friends hate me because they're mean, not because I like did anything to them. And like I just like people in Alcoholics Anonymous or this and that. Like I just felt like very much like a victim. Like I was not like somebody who appraised myself very often. Like it was very new for me to like look at having a part. Like I never thought that way. Like that was not something that I did. But how healing is it, right? Like I remember like early on, like my sponsor had me start doing 10 steps. Like at the end of the day, like I know this is the 11th step in the big book, but like she did have me go through like the questions like on page 86, were you resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? And wow, like looking at myself at like the end of the day, like and being able to like see the ways I fell short and like, how relieving, to be able to like lay that to rest, you know what I mean? And like be aware of myself and who and what I really am. And I got that from the fourth step too. Like like it was hard to like look at certain things and like how like I was a bad daughter and like the way that I treated people and how I set the ball rolling in a lot of situations that I felt very, victimized by. But it was a big relief, right? Because like if I have a part in things, like that means that if I'm different, things can be different, right? I'm not like stuck in like this like evil world where like I'm a victim. It's not, and like, so it was a relief. And like doing like a fifth step with a sponsor was like a very, very like life-changing experience for me. Like I remember like I brought all these things to her and I like read my fifth step and I had like secrets on it that I wouldn't tell anybody. And like she related to them and like I told her about my drinking and she related to certain things about my drinking. And like my sponsor to me was like, she was like a Banana Republic model or something. Like, I don't know. She was like this like woman with a mom who had like things together and like wore like nice clothes that weren't from like a thrift store. And I don't know, like she had a house and like, and I just like, I didn't feel like we could have anything in common. Like, I really felt like she was just kind of like my, I don't know, like this like person who was here to mentor me and like, I don't know, like, but like we had a lot in common and that was like really healing for me. Like I felt like a lot more connected to her and like, we had a great relationship for like a long time and I still talk to her. After I read it, she said like, welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I really felt that way. Like I felt like I was finally a member here. Like I felt like I had done some work. And yeah, so that was my fourth and my fifth step. I remember like within 5 months of being sober, my sponsor like sat me down. We went to her house. We were reading the eight steps. She's like, Sarah, I think you're ready to make amends. I was like, okay, that's interesting, right? Like, how do you know? Like, I kind of like propped up my ego a little bit. I'm like, how am I ready? I guess it felt early, but I took the action and like my first amends were like I don't know if I like would have done it with such like eagerness if like it wasn't for like this guy I was interested in was like, I'll date you if you do all 12 steps. And so I was like, yeah, I'll do the events. But I mean, that saved my life. Like that character defect kind of helped me. He never went out with me after I finished my amends, but I got well. he was never interested in me. Well, but like I remember I like made amends to like the first amends I had to do was like to this girl. Like my sponsor let me do softballs first. She knew like if she gave me something like really hard to do, like I probably would have balked. Like it took me 6 years to finish my amends, y'all. Like it, like I don't know, but like anyway, the first ones she was like, it was a friend of mine, like kind of a softball, and like that same day, that friend texted me to like hang out, which was like very rare. So I kind of felt like that was like a god a little bit in the situation, and like my sponsor had like this format she did. She had like a template, and like she had us like write out, let me write out the amends and read it to her and like practice. And I just remember meeting with this girl and like and doing it and like. And man, like every time I do an amends, like I feel like I just get like more and more relief. It's just like getting there, you know what I mean? But yeah, and then I was on fire from it. Like I made a lot of amends in my first year. Some of the harder ones took me longer, but I did finish them, for now. But yeah, and I guess like I don't know, those promises started to come true for me. The ninth step promises, like I love those. And 10, 11, and 12, my sponsor told me you can do any step that starts with a one. As soon as you get into Alcoholics Anonymous, like you don't have to have like, have been through the steps before it. And so she had me start doing daily 10 steps pretty early. She had me start doing reading On Awakening in the morning on page 86 pretty early. And I needed that because, man, I was like, when I was new, like people thought there was something wrong with me that was like not alcoholism. Like I was so crazy. Like I just like my head like wouldn't stop. Like I didn't know what to do with myself, and like just kind of like I don't know. Like that meditation like really helped me. I don't know. And like looking at myself. And it's still honestly a habit that I have. Like I feel like I've been pretty consistent with prayer and meditation like throughout my sobriety, which I'm really happy about. It's like. Honestly, like I feel like if I don't do it, I feel worse. And so I try and do it a lot. But and then like step 12, like from the beginning, it's like I tried to help people. I like picked people up. I would talk to people if they called me. I called a lot of people. And then when I got through the 12 steps, I started to be able to sponsor other women. Which like I just kind of did what my sponsor does for me. I took them through the book. I shared my experience. I very much like used that as like a framework for like what I do, and like talked to her a lot about like how to deal with certain situations, like with my sponsees and how to communicate. And yeah, and so I still try and sponsor other women. And yeah, I guess like I remember like this like the spiritual awakening, right? Like I remember, it's in like the spiritual appendix, right? Like I feel like. This is kind of like, says at the end of our book in Appendix 2 somewhere. Okay, there it is. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource, which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. And like this is talking about like the spiritual experience, the educational variety. Like this appendix is saying, like, your spiritual awakening doesn't really need to be like this burning bush moment. It can be like kind of slower, like the educational variety. And I just remember like people in the meetings, it's saying like friends of the newcomer notice it long before he does himself. Like people in the meetings would start saying things to me like, you're so different now, like you seem so much more at peace. And like, and I like, I liked to hear things like that because it like showed me that it was like working. And I felt better. Like I felt like I felt like I could talk to people. Like I felt like slowly over time, like Alcoholics Anonymous has done for me like what a drink did. Like it has made me like able to talk to people. Able to be myself, like it has made like, I am at peace. You know what I mean? I know what serenity is. And I started to know what that was, and I started to really feel like this could work for me. And also, like, the months started to like pile on. Like I would get like 1 month, 2 months, 6 months, and like, and I was never able to do that on my own. Like I like am somebody who gets 4 days, and I'm like, I'm not an alcoholic. That was four long days, So like the fact that I could do that is like totally a testament to Alcoholics Anonymous. It's like just like taking the steps and like what you guys did for me. And so like I do feel like I've had like a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. I'm trying to think. And I can get a little bit into like what it's like now and just like what my sobriety has been like now. I have 15 minutes left. So yeah, I worked all 12 steps when I was new. And when I was new to Alcoholics Anonymous, like I didn't have a lot going on in my life. Like I got kicked out of school, as I said, and like I was just going to meetings for a while, and then I got back into like community college, and I had like a job at a swimming pool, but like when I was in AA, like and not like actually working the program, I got fired, like stone cold sober. I got like fired. And so I didn't have a lot going on. I didn't have a lot going for me. And like in sobriety, like I've been able, with the help of people in Alcoholics Anonymous and like the steps, like I've been able to like actually function, like I was able to get back into school, community college, and then a 4-year university. And I was able to graduate in 2019 and get like a job. So that was great. And being sober is very helpful for being able to like show up for class and like not get kicked out. I was able to start like working again and just start like showing up on time and like trying to be helpful and like apply these principles like outside of the meetings, like picking up the cigarette butts and like putting the chairs away and making the coffee. Like they all set you up for like being of service at work, right? Like I remember like I had like one of my first sober jobs and like just taking being the person who took out the trash, right? And I like wonder like where I learned that. It was from like Up the Tubes McLean, right? Like the meeting. And so like these principles helped me, like the idea of like being useful, like practicing that like outside of the meetings, like when I'm at work, like trying to be helpful to somebody, right? Like just like applying these principles like outside of like what I was already doing, like it kind of happened like naturally, like that has really helped me to kind of like function in life. Let's see, so yeah, like now I kind of I have a job. I'm married. Like a lot of really great things have happened because like I've been able to stay sober and like it's not me. Like I am like, especially with like the getting married thing. Like I am somebody who's like a tornado, right? I'm like somebody who's like not capable of having relationships, like not capable of holding on to jobs. Like it's all because like I've been sober and like I've gotten like the help here and done the work. And yeah, I kind of missed this in like my amends portion. But like I was very on the rocks with my family when I got here. Like I was not kind to them. They were like the majority of the people I like caused damage to in my drinking. And I really resented them for like a long time. But like when I did my fourth and my fifth step and my eighth and my ninth step on them, I was really able to see my part with the help of a sponsor. And she also suggested taking actions like meet up with them once a week, like have dinner with them. And on that night, don't go to a meeting. Like you're there to ask them how they're doing, to like be of service. You're there to like really be a daughter to them. And so I like started to do that. And I kind of felt like all that resentment like melt away, like when I started to try and like participate. And like it's just been beautiful. Like it started with like simple actions like that. And within like 18 months, I'm like having sit down conversations with my family, my mom and my dad separately, telling them like what I did and that, and asking them what I could do to make it right and like what I missed. And my conversation with my dad was like beautiful, and so was my mom's, but my mom's was more difficult. Like it really showed me like, she was basically like, you caused years of damage. It's going to take like a lot longer than this to like kind of make it up. Which is it's totally fair, right? Like I'm somebody, like I caused a lot of damage. And like my mom like couldn't like go to sleep for like a couple years into my sobriety without knowing where I was, because like I was always in an unsafe situation, like stealing peace of mind. And she just didn't know what to do with me, and she was afraid I was gonna die, right? So like I took those actions, I did the amends, and like today, like I have a great relationship with my parents. Like let's see, like me and my husband go there once a week to see them still, if we can. And I like my parents, like I have a brother who like was diagnosed as like a schizophrenic when I was sober. He started getting into trouble like a year into my sobriety, and so they have a lot going on. Like they have like that. It's really difficult, but I'm just glad that because I'm sober, like I'm also not like a liability, not a liability, but like I'm not like a worry to them at the same time. Like they're able to like have me as their daughter, and like I'm not like somebody who's just like stealing all of their attention at all times. And so that's like a beautiful gift of Alcoholics Anonymous, like that change in perception towards them. And yeah, like how cool, right? I have been able to go on trips with them, like one-on-one. Like I went on like a one-on-one trip with my mom where we had just like a great time, and I like really got to know her. And they really helped so much with my wedding, which was so great too. Like they just, yeah, it's just like this is like a really cool program. And let's see. Yeah, so there's that, and like I guess besides like the outside things, like I really feel like Alcoholics Anonymous, like a lot. A gift I really appreciate about it now is just that like the obsession is like totally removed for me. Like I'm not, I'm not all consumed by alcohol anymore. If I think about it, it's like a fleeting thought, and that's like a really cool thing about Alcoholics Anonymous. Like I don't have that obsession anymore. Like for the most part, I'm like comfortable in my own skin, and like I do struggle like sometimes, but like I'm always able to like there's always somebody with experience with things like in meetings, and like there's always people for me to talk to like in my network, and like and yeah, and like I like now like I feel like my program, I don't know, my program is kind of the same as it was when I was new, to be honest with you. Like like on Monday nights I like bring a meeting into a detox facility at Fairfax Innova. And that's like a really cool thing I get to do. I have service at like a couple of other meetings. And I try and take other women through the steps. And I still talk to a sponsor, and I still try to practice this. And yeah, I mean, I think I'm like running out of steam, honestly. But how far did I get? 650. Guys, that is pretty good. Okay. That is pretty good. That is like a solid B. Okay. Like that is 90%. I'll take it. All right. Thank you for having me.